Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today we're going to be talking about originality. And one of the principles at the heart of the three principles is that mind, this creative, responsive intelligence of the universe, is in us. That we are as guided by that creative potential as anything in the universe. But we've learned to rely on our intellect. We've learned to rely on our memory instead of going to this potential in us, this nothingness that is at the heart of everything. And what it leads to in the world is a lot of copying. It leads to a lot of what sometimes is called innovation, or what is simply differentiation, which is essentially taking something that is already there and making it just different enough that nobody can sue you for copyright infringement. And I mean, my favorite personal experience of that was years ago. There was a guy in Australia who not only copied my website word for word, he copied my bio and he put his name in instead of mine, but he kept in the bit about his children, Oliver and Clara. And I kind of looked him up. I was like, really? And it turned out he was married. He didn't have children. He just literally just cut and pasted the whole thing, and he was neither married nor a father. So I get riled up about that, even though I understand it's the sincerest form of flattery. And I started fantasizing about announcing a course called How to Be Original and seeing how quickly he copied it. But putting that to one side, there is something about recognizing that we are a part of the infinite creative potential of the universe that makes anything less than originality nowhere near as much fun. And in a world where so many of us are really looking to give voice to that creative potential, to make our mark in and on the world with our words, with our music, with our art, with our business, with our product, with our service, learning how to be original has a genuine value. And there's really not that much to it. There's really two key points that if you begin to understand them, you'll know how to be original. And the first one is, original's not the same as different, right? So in Hollywood in the early 90s, there were two movies. One, the actual one that came out first was called Problem Child, and the one that you've probably heard of and remember was called Home Alone. And after those two movies, there were dozens upon dozens of new movies about kids and family comedy dramas about, you know, home with just one friend, or, you know, other problem children, or, you know, that were just, again, like I said earlier, they were just little variations on the form. And what's interesting is you would think that that happened because Home Alone was so successful. But the theory that was kind of kicking around Hollywood at the time was that Home Alone didn't really change the industry because it was a great movie. Like, regardless of genre, it was just a great movie. If you haven't watched it for a while, go back and watch it. It really stands up. But Problem Child wasn't. Like, Problem Child, I mean, you might like it, but even the people who made it thought it was terrible. And so the fact that a movie that nobody thought was good made so much money was what actually started the trend of copying but different, of creating different versions of the same movie. And each one had like a little twist. One was with a girl instead of a boy. You know, one, instead of it being, robbers who came, it was family members. And you can see that throughout Hollywood. There's always two Sherlock Holmes movies that come out at the same time. There's two sets of superhero movies. There's this whole game of trying to be different in the name of being original. So, as I said, you can see that idea of different in pretty much every arena of creativity and product development, right? So my daughter and I used to drive to school every morning, and I'd drive her to school and we'd listen to whatever the top 40 station was. And there were like 7 songs. I mean, maybe 10, I don't know. But the same songs would come up, and we'd keep waiting for a new song to come up, and very occasionally one would. And then she got her driver's license recently, And so I stopped driving with her so much. And then the other night we were in the car together and we, you know, for old time's sake, put on the top 40 radio station. And it was still the same songs. And it was funny because, you know, there was a little bit of differentiation, but all of them were pretty much the same song or even exactly the same song. Now, here's the thing. For something to be original, truly original, we need to take our focus off what already exists in the world and put it onto something else entirely. And I first kind of saw this when I was reading a quote from the architect Antonin Gaudi, and we were in Barcelona and we were looking around his cathedral, and it was one of the most bizarre, beautiful, original buildings I have ever been in. And there was a quote that was in the sort of tour of the cathedral, and it was a quote from Gaudi, and he said, "Original consists of returning to the origin." So original, in its simplest form, means from the point or place where something begins, arises, or is derived. And what that means is if we want to create something truly original, we have to look away from the form of what's already been created and look instead to the origin, the source of creativity itself. And what is that source? Well, throughout history, artists and creators have looked to identify that source. So in ancient Greece, it was personified as the Muses, the daughters of Zeus and I can't remember the name of his lover. She was the personification of memory, and they had 9 daughters, and those became the Muses, and each one was considered the source of creativity in a different art form. In early Christianity, the suggestion was that only God himself could truly create, and that form of creation was called ex nihilo, creating from nothing. And that's at the heart of creation. That's the heart of going back to the origin. Everything comes from nothing. So if we want to create something truly fresh and new in the world, something truly original, we've got to go beyond the noise of our own mind. We've got to go into the quiet of nothing, of the fertile void out of which all things come into being. We need to find the silence inside of which we hear the music. We need to find the page underneath the writing. We need to find the space within, into which our thoughts appear and dissipate. And that space is always present. It's what I call in Creating the Impossible, the big nothing. And you won't find anything there. That's the nature of nothing. But it's a field of pure potential. It's like an unplowed field that is so fertile that if you just drop the seed of an idea into it, that seed will spring to life and begin to grow almost immediately. And you can't see it, but you can get a feel for it. You can touch it by letting it touch you. You can let it gently cocoon you in a blanket of life and possibility. If you listen, it's whispering inspiration into your ears right now. And while staring into the fertile void can become almost hypnotic, there's a certain point that you wake up from its depths with this impulse to create. And the beauty of creating original work, work arising from the origin point of all creation, is that whatever comes from that place carries with it the flavor of source. And in the same way as there's some work that just feels lazy when you see it, when you hear it, when you do it, you can kind of taste the hate. You can taste the boredom. You can taste the cynicism. You can also taste the love in work that's done for the joy of going back to the origin and seeing what comes up fresh in each and every moment. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll speak with you soon.